Hey, what's up, everyone? You're probably, if you're seeing this, actually watching the playback. So welcome. Where are we, right? White thing behind us. If you actually read that little corner there above his head, we're at ZOA House in Tel Aviv, Zionist Organization of America. They got a really cool place here. There's a lot of events going on. And we are here at the Sales Kenes. What is the Sales Kenes? Kenes means conference. We're here to learn about sales. And we have here actually, as I would say, an all-star marketers. We got David from Penguin Strategies. We got Pratik here from HubSpot. He flew all the way from Dublin. He'll be speaking in like 15 minutes. So he'll be leaving us maybe in the middle of the live. We'll see. Maybe we'll wrap things up by then. But you basically have the B2B tech marketing lineup here, right here. And we have the sales lineup upstairs that we'll be going to after, where Pratik will be speaking on stage. So anyway, in short, we're going to talk a little bit about sales enablement, and a little bit how you can use CRM to link your marketing and sales, not specifically how to do it, but actually kind of in general, understand the concept of using enablement and how you can use your marketing and your lead generation efforts together with sales. We're not just talking about the relationship you need to have with sales, but probably less discussed is, let's say, software accountability and basically how to track things a little bit. So let's open up and start up with, I'll just take away. So Pratik, tell us a little bit what you're going to be talking about, a little bit about sales enablement and what you'll be speaking about today at the Sales Kenes.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, everybody talks about these big growth numbers and strategy and all of that stuff. But what about the new sales guy who we just hired 2 weeks ago, and he's never worked in an organization. He loves the vision statement that you've pounded him with, that's been drilled into him during the onboarding. But what tools do you give him if you don't really let him take baby steps? It just becomes very difficult. So simple things like simple tools that make a sales guy's, you know, your BDRs, your SDRs, just make their life easier instead of making it super complicated with heavy stuff as they start and as they move along in the sales
organization. What are the heavy stuff people are currently using? When you say heavy stuff, you're referring to?
Like logging a call, like, that's the last thing. Like, I work in sales. David, how much do you love logging stuff?
No, listen, the technology should be there to make it easier, not harder for you.
Yeah, it should be admin. Okay. So mm-hmm. It shouldn't really take time out of what you do best, which is selling.
Right.
You're supposed to reach out to people. You're supposed to close deals, make appointments. You shouldn't be wasting your time in admin.
Right,
which is about 30% of what salespeople do as of today.
All right, so let's talk. Let me give you a little devil's advocate here. All right, and I think in general, and this, I would say this is also applicable for people talk about all the advantages of automation. There's also a downside to it, is a little bit there's a lack of humanity. So when I use a CRM, when I take notes, right, mm-hmm. on a prospect or client, it's my notes with my thoughts, and I write them, let's say, as the call happens or immediately after, let's say, the call or whatever the email exchange happens. And because I've inputted it in a way with my personality in the way I think, it's easier for me to grab meaning. The more attention to detail, the more I manually record what my mm-hmm. thoughts in the and conversation was, I think the more easier it is to read up on and to be reminded of, whether it's a week or even a few months down the line.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's crucial. That information is golden. Like, there's no way that shouldn't be captured. But imagine a life where, obviously, you know, you could be in another company in a few months, but that's the opportunity for your current employer. What if you continue capturing the same information, and instead of just saying something, you know, instead of writing 3 months, what if there's a pre-templated format in your sales playbook, mm-hmm. the tool is actually called playbook, where it just says next steps, and you can still fill in all the information. So mm-hmm. that those templates created by sales managers, and you can still go on and, you know, be William Shakespeare, write your emotions in those notes. As
right.
long as there's a framework which is easy, if you're a week old in an organization, you'll straight away get what next steps mean.
Right. If you're William Shakespeare, you should not. You might want to pursue another profession. You know, as much as important as, let's say, writing ad copies, or shouldn't be in marketing, and probably shouldn't be in sales, but if you're being eloquent is very important when it comes to sales, for sure. All right. So, what are your experiences with it? What challenges do you see with using CRMs in general?
There are some CRMs that are really hard to use. There are a lot of steps to log a call or to send out an email. But well, you know, we're using HubSpot, and what's nice about it is that it gives you all the automation. It sets up the reminders, sets up the automated, you know, follow-up sequences and tasks. So it helps you stay on top of all these different things going on. And you know, different depending on the company and your clients, if you have a long sales cycle and you have 3 customers in the pipeline, it's easier, even though there you have 15 touch points in the client, versus a short sales cycle where you might end up having 100 in your pipeline and it's hard to keep track of everyone. So it's, you know, that's what we, you know, that's what makes it easier and helps you down top.
Yeah, I mean, everybody goes to trade shows. I'm just gonna skip the whole high tech stuff and something as simple as the fish book at different booths at trade shows. Drop your card.
Right.
And then what do? A week later, you send an email. Thank you for visiting stand 7 at trade show so-and-so. How about just getting a simple app on your phone,
right,
that just scans the card right there and pushes the contact into the CRM? You know exactly where you met the guy. You know the exact moment the lead was captured and which event the lead was captured. And segment, assign it to different salespeople, put it in a different list. There's a million things you can do with it. It's such a simple thing.
But when you say there's a million things you can do, it doesn't sound so simple. I think people get intimidated. No.
With an app?
I don't know. When you say, I don't know. When you say, like, there's someone said to me once, they said, like, any app or any software that you use, let's say, for productivity, you know, you're probably likely using maybe like 15% of the features. Right, which is pretty accurate.
Yeah,
I mean, that can be anything. You can even say that for social media. Like, yep. Even if you're adding on Facebook or things like using, you know, Find My Friends or How Active Are You Marketplace or groups, that and same, you know what I mean? Or when it comes to technology or something as massive as HubSpot, I'd probably be using less than that, right?
Yep.
So with so many things, how do you know what to use and what not to use? And another thing, so I feel like we don't know what to grasp onto and what's the right thing. We don't know what to try and what not to try. And then the other thing is when it's such a large platform, and when we, as marketers and as salespeople, we need, we all have our own demands in our CRM. We each want it to look a certain way. So when you say when a salesperson gets set up the CRM is best for you, and let's say as a marketer or you know, whoever's putting the input would have to meet that person's CRM. What if you don't like how the person set it up? Obviously, you have to go back and forth.
Yeah.
The problem is that when you streamline anything, you, or when it goes back to my first comment, mm-hmm. or automation or anything, you lose the personality, the individualism, 100%. Don't you?
Yeah, you do, definitely. And that's why.
Can you have both, or am I just?
Why not? Weird? That's the ideal situation.
So people want to know, right? And by the way, if you guys have any comments or questions, feel free to leave it over LinkedIn. Keep in mind the comments, because LinkedIn Live is in a very early beta, maybe an alpha. That we'll get your comments about a minute later, but we'll be sure to respond to everything. And also, you can ping me if you have any other questions or comments or messages. I'll make sure to let these gentlemen know, and we'll make sure to get back to you privately.
Yeah, absolutely.
So how do you personalize it?
I think the biggest challenge for any tech company, any app company, or any CRM, or one of these, you know, whatever category you want to put them in, it's not the price, it's not the market penetration, it's actually adoption. Mm-hmm. We're human beings. We're immune to change. We resist change. If people are used to Excel sheets, they don't want to get into a CRM.
Mm-hmm.
If they get onto a CRM, they don't want to. Sometimes you have tech companies getting dozens of requests of people asking them not to upgrade their product. They simply hate the concept of change.
Yeah.
And that's, and it's.
Are they wrong?
It's human nature. So.
Right. But I'm just saying. Human nature can be anything. Human nature is good and human nature is bad. Are they wrong, you know?
I get it's
human nature.
There's no right or wrong. It's a question of how efficient, how eager, or how keen are you to make your processes more efficient.
So some half the team is and half the team isn't, and how do you deal with that friction?
Well, you show them how it makes their life easier.
Yeah, but wouldn't everyone say that? I mean, sometimes I'll...
Yeah, everyone will say that, but if you kind of force the software on them...
So that's what it is. It has to be forced.
No, so if you force
it in a sense, in order for something to work, I'll give you an example, okay?
We call it... I'd rather say that it's... You guide them towards it.
Okay, a little PC here. You spend too much time in Ireland.
Well, I mean, like I think I was saying earlier, you have the business cards at the fish bowl.
Right
now, the guy goes home and has spent 4 hours typing into their Excel sheet. App picture done.
Right. Yeah.
A lot right of apps now, you just adapted it by making it easier.
Maybe. Right. That's true. By the way, check out these new wooden business cards I got. Isn't it sexy? Isn't it cool? Look at that. Anyway.
Eco-friendly.
Yeah, I'm going to have them for lunch after because they're gluten-free.
Yeah, you can. This is actually, those wooden forks they use now because they're biodegradable. That's like what this is made out of. It just costs $1.50 each. all right. Very cool. Interesting. So some updates suck. No? Do you ever get pushback? And you work for HubSpot. Yep. Or have you ever seen an update that sucks? I'll give you an example. There's a LinkedIn update. Now people are doing the Find Your Friends feature. If you're not familiar, on LinkedIn, if you pull out your mobile, you got to have your your GPS on. And under your network, there's something called Find Your Friends. And what it is other people turn it on. Like here at the sales conference, you can find other people that are in the room that are local. And you can connect with them. You need your Bluetooth and a GPS. So in the update, they moved it from somewhere that's very easy. And two people try to show it in the screen share, on the projector in their slideshow where it is. But it's not there anymore. In the last update, they buried it. I actually thought it was gone. They buried it so bad.
I saw it. I looked at
some people.
I could check it. So
you found it. So some people didn't. Yeah. You're updated. So it's
probably an Android. iOS.
No, because the woman next to me had an iOS. That's what I thought.
Okay.
So I'll just show people. So it used to be right there under my network. It used to be right there on the top. But now what you do is you see there's that plus with the people, and I didn't even see it. I just scroll to see that. And then there's find nearby. And I can actually leave it on so you don't have to be in it, which is an improvement of the upgrade. But they put it there instead. They made it a little harder. They didn't I wish you could know when they move and change things instead of me assuming that they removed it. Because LinkedIn's notorious for rolling out features, screwing up the rollout, and then we're rolling back. Except for LinkedIn Live, which is great. I'm so grateful that I love this feature. I can't wait till I don't use a third-party software to make this tech a lot clearer of work. Awesome, great. So I know you have to get going, and I will continue for a few more minutes. So if you can learn, so if you can part any final words, right? Obviously, I mean, you work for HubSpot, it's not a secret, and you're here in Israel to support the tech community, and year over year, you guys are quadrupled HubSpot in the amount of users, something like that, right? Which is pretty epic. Sounds like you're smudging your numbers, but we know you're not. Everyone in the meeting, many people are using HubSpot, especially it's so easy to use. If you were to leave people off with, let's say, more like maybe a tip of, let's say, with your HubSpot expertise, how they can use HubSpot for sales, or for marketing, or sales in particular, talk sales. What do you think may be a cool insight or something people aren't aware of or don't know of?
So especially in Israel, I mean, this is an export market. It's there's a massive tech startup scene. There's a big pool of industries, big pool of companies here that are selling to the rest of the world, which basically means you're looking at 100 plus target countries that you're selling into. Your sales need to be very, very customized, personalized. You can be speaking in multiple languages, multiple hierarchies, different decision makers, influencers. Get a product, get HubSpot, get a sales enablement tool that allows you to do your outreach in a very customized manner. And most importantly, like you emphasized, it's flexible enough for you to change your sales process on a daily basis based on an individual sales rep's selling habits, patterns, and preferences.
All right, so let's first, we have a question here. First off, what's up, Itai, and I guess Andrew Chad. Thank you, David, Miles, thanks, Lily. Carolyn asks, now, which CRM do you recommend? Why, other than HubSpot? When is HubSpot not the right choice for you if you're a technology company?
If you're looking at something very complex where you're looking at multiple countries and you're looking at very, very complex hierarchies where you need simultaneous access, you might need something very bespoke where the standard tech companies just don't do it. So you have a lag.
Look at that lag. Yeah. Sorry, we're just pointing out we're actually watching the feed live and the lag is actually 4 minutes. So we know we're going to get a lot of comments after you're gone. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. So if you're large, if you have a lot of sales, if you have sales teams in different markets.
Yeah, like if you've got a very complex sales process where multiple teams could be, or let's say multiple salespeople are chasing the same person, and you've got an internal sales process where you're commissioning, where the way you compensate your internal staff, then you might need something bespoke. Apart from that, I don't see the reason why HubSpot doesn't check all the boxes that you need in a sales and marketing organization. We ourselves,
so multinational sales, you would say, you might be saying.
Yeah, we're multinational sales. We've got offices all around the world. We've got a large sales team, and we use HubSpot for our own business. And like you said, we've quadrupled, so it's working fine.
Awesome, sweet. If you guys have any questions, you can send it over to him directly. Prateek, what's your last name? How do you spell it so they can find you?
It's Sharma.
Okay, ignore that. Go right to Prateek HubSpot and LinkedIn. You'll find him if you don't message me. Trying to make things easier for them.
Find him in the comments.
Sierra find Hotel, the Hotel Alpha, Alpha, Romeo Mother Alpha.
There you go. So you speak Greek. Awesome.
Right, thanks, Will.
We'll be up in a minute, and we'll hear your talk on sales enablement.
See you guys.
All right. So we'll continue here with David from Penguin Strategies. Let's make a greater focus here, just a little bit about marketing and a little bit of business development. Now, you lead up BizDev at Penguin, right?
Yeah.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about BizDev and how that plays into marketing, because it's kind of, you know, there are all these things that we overlap, right? We talk, say, marketing and sales, marketing and BizDev and sales, and kind of like they have some overlap, sometimes they don't. When do they step or they're not? So you as a biz development manager, and let's say other people have the roles BizDev in other organizations, let's say high tech organizations, non-marketing agencies, would you say how much of their work is marketing, how much of it is sales, or is BizDev just a way of saying, a way of just not being, implying but not being clear?
So today there's definitely the shift where it's blurry. You know, today there's no sales, marketing, biz dev as like separate entities.
Right.
A little bit of overlap. And there's no sales cycle anymore. There's no like marketing handover to sales.
Right.
Marketing might be the primary with sales supporting, and at some point shifts over to sales, takes the lead where marketing supporting, but it's always, and then biz dev is also part of that circle.
Right.
So there is the overlap and glory.
Right.
I do biz dev, I also do sales, I also do marketing. Mm-hmm. So there is, you know.
But why so much? Like, so isn't that, assuming one has large enough a team to do all of it, they're not limited in their human resources, okay? Should a biz dev person also be doing marketing and sales? Or should they sit in on meetings, like, time to time when it's relevant, so they understand what's going on? They could always call you into a meeting just so you kind of know what's going on, and you kind of are, independent's the wrong word, but, you know, operate on your own.
So they should definitely have, you know, if it's separated, have separate responsibilities just so you can focus on one thing. You know, when you're doing too much, you get sidetracked and lose track of things. But they should definitely be in touch, constant updating, constantly listening. You know, marketing person should be listening to sales calls. A sales call, a salesperson should be giving input on their experience with customers back to marketing. Biz dev should be talking to partners and seeing what's the market. You know, asking for what are the industry, the partners that we're working with asking for, or what we deliver to them to make their life better.
Mm-hmm.
They should not be in a silo. A marketing person who just creates marketing stuff and pumps it out and never listens back to, never hears back from sales, just looks at the numbers on like the data on the CRM, doesn't get, you know, why were all these sales lost? They could be for something very simple that they could be changing in the tone of the messaging, something that they could. They would know if they spoke to sales, but they have to do that in order to.
Right, of course, you need to communicate. And by the way, as marketers, you're responsible to ask sales for feedback. If sales ever bitches, then you need to ask for feedback. You need to go over the leads, why are they, let's say, qualified, why they're not qualified, what's wrong with, so you can, let's say, improve your targeting for your ads or your messaging, your landing page, your SEO, your inbound marketing, make sure you have the right target.
Right.
It's so important for a good relation with sales. And some people say it's better to have less, well, let's say all variables are the same. So let's say your amount of your spend is the same or whatever, is that they'd rather, marketers would rather have, because they have a better relationship with sales, less qualified leads, if that means a much greater percentage of the leads they provide are qualified. Meaning that it could be less revenue for the company, but they don't want to give shit leads over to, over to sales.
Quality over quantity.
Correct.
Yeah, that's definitely.
Yeah, but it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate that we would have to forego quantity for quality.
So not necessarily. I mean, the question is, if you're going, you might have the same amount of qualified leads coming in, but they're a lot more focused. So that's why the real key here is really start off with discovery. Start off with a whole strategy, learning the customer, listening to sales calls, talking to customers, existing customers, understanding what their pains are. And then once you have all that, you can really build a marketing plan that speaks to your personas, to your target audience. And now you might be spending, doing less posting on Facebook and LinkedIn, doing less content. We would say do 2 very targeted blog posts to the right people, as opposed to doing 4 that are just words and on pages without any strategy or bet or anything behind it.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Last call for any questions. Here, Lily asks, thank you. She'll take a look at HubSpot. All right, Caroline Lee, can you please write the name of the CRM versus cost? The name is HubSpot, but cost you to go to their website. It's not cheap, especially for small business owners. Take a look, Lily, and let me know first. Also, if you message me, I'll make an introduction for you to Pratik so you can speak to him directly, and he'll help you answer all these questions. Get on the phone. The dude's a freaking mensch. He's awesome. All right, so we're going to finish up here in a moment. Is there anything else that you wanted to share with the LinkedIn community, the marketing and sales community?
No, not at the moment.
All right, so anyway, thanks. I wanted to sign off here a moment from Sales Kennis here in Tel Aviv at the ZOA, the Zionist Organization of America House, which is basically a great place for events. And the good news is you can go to the other events and steal their food. I didn't say that. but anyway, thanks everyone for joining us for live. I'm going to be trying to do more lives. And I'll be going to a handful of events for the last 2 weeks before Shoshana. If you're coming out to any, please let us know. All right, thank you. We're signing off. If you have any other questions, please send me a message. Great. We're still broadcasting.